Okay, welcome everyone to our Daf a Week Shir and to our new Masechta, Maseches Chagiga. I'm just going to ask everyone to mute themselves, or I'll mute you just to eliminate the background noise. Okay, so welcome everyone to Maseches Chagiga. So just a little few moments of introduction to Maseches Chagiga. We know that there is an obligation to bring what's called the Karban Chagiga. But interestingly, that's actually not what the Masechta starts with. There's an obligation, as Tosfos outlines in the very first Tosfos, a long Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, that basically there are three Karbanos that every single person, every Jew, is obligated to bring when they come to the Beis HaMikdash, when they come to Yerushalayim, when they make Aliyah, the regla for all of the three Regalim. That is the Karban Chagiga, the Karban Simcha, and the Karban Re'iyah. The Karban Re'iyah is the Karban that we're going to start off with. That's what the very first Mishnah begins with. And the Karban Re'iyah essentially has the following mechanism in which it works. There's a notion that one has to be seen when every regal, one has to be seen on Har HaBayis. They have to be seen in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees them, and you bring a Karban. It's almost in a sense to say that you're marking that being seen by bringing a Karban. Excuse me. And so that's what the very first Mishnah talks about. There's a whole machlokas exactly what the very first words mean. So let's just read them very quickly. Hakol chayavin bere'iyah. Everyone is obligated in re'iyah. So the question is, what does it mean that you're obligated in re'iyah? We said just a second ago that there are two aspects of re'iyah. There is the aspect of re'iyah that you have to be seen. That's one mitzvah. And seemingly a second mitzvah, or at least a second part of the mitzvah, is not just to be seen in the Beis HaMikdash during the Shalosh Regalim, but also you have to bring the Karban re'iyah. So is this an obligation that you're obligated to be seen, or is it that that everyone is obligated to be seen and to bring the Karban, right? So are you obligated in both? Obviously, if you're not obligated to be seen, then clearly you're not obligated to bring a Karban. That wouldn't make any sense, because how could you bring a Karban for being seen if you're not obligated to be there in the first place? So obviously, if you're obligated to bring a Karban, you're clearly obligated to be seen as well. But the question is, can you be obligated to be seen and not be obligated to bring the Karban? So that seems to be a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in the opening. Rashi and Tosfos over here. Rashi is very vague. Rashi says in the very first line of Rashi, "B'mitzvas re'iyas klozuchorcha." We're talking about the mitzvah of re'iyah, that every single male is obligated to be seen. Shetzrichem lehisraus ba'azara berega. That you're obligated to show yourself in the courtyard on one of the regalim. So from the words of Rashi, it's a little bit vague, but you can certainly understand it that Rashi is saying that we're not talking about the obligation to bring the sacrifice. We're actually just talking about the obligation just to be seen. Now there's a machlokas in Tosfos. One opinion in Tosfos says, Rav Chanan says that Rashi basically holds that this mission is only talking about being seen, has nothing to do with the Karban. But then Rabbeinu Tam chimes in and he says, no, clearly Rashi is talking about not just the obligation to be seen, but also the obligation of the Karban as well. That must be what the opening mission is talking about. So we'll assume for the most part that the mission is talking about not just the obligation to be seen, but the obligation to bring the Karban Re'iyah as well. And so let's jump into Maseches Chagiga. So, Hakol Chayav Bere'iyah, everyone is obligated to be seen and to bring the Karban Chagiga. So it's a very inclusive statement, and the Gemara, the opening Gemara here, will deal with understanding who the Hakol is talking about. Usually when we say Hakol, we're trying to include someone when we say everyone is involved. What's interesting, though, is that we say everyone is included, and we have a very, very long list of exceptions. So that's what the next several lines are. So who is not included in this obligation? Chutz Micheresh Shota V'Katan. Who is not included? A deaf person, someone who's like a deranged, and a minor. They're not obligated to do the Re'iyah. The Tumtum Androgyne, someone who has, who is unclear what his gender is, and someone who has both genitalia, they are both genders. The Nashim Ve'abadim She'ina Meshuchrarim, and women and slaves that are not freed from their master yet. Hachiger, someone who is like lame, he's like crippled, he's not able to walk. V'hasuma, someone who is blind. V'hachole, someone who is sick. V'hazakin, someone who is elderly. Umi she'inu yachol la'alos v'raglav. And then anyone else who is just unable to walk with his feet, then he is not obligated, none of these people are obligated to do, to be seen and to bring the Karban Re'iyah. Ezehu katan, so we just said a second ago, that a katan is exempt from doing the re'iyah. So how do we define a katan? Says the Mishnah, kol she'inu yachol lerchov al kaseifav shel aviv, anyone who's not able to ride on the shoulders of his father, b'la'alos mirshalayim lahar abayis, dibrei beis shammai. According to beis shammai, they say that if a young little boy is able to ride on the shoulders, excuse me, if they're able to ride on the shoulders of their father up to up from Yerushalayim to Har Habayis, then they are allowed to, then they are considered of obligatory age to go to go for the Karban Re'iyah. Now, what does it mean that they're of obligatory age? It means that seemingly the parents are obligated to bring them up, and so that's not such an old age, right? My 2-year-old daughter could, if she would let me, then I'd probably be able to put her on my shoulders, and she'd have no issue, you know, sitting on my shoulders as we walked up from Yerushalayim to Har Habayis, God willing. It should be soon, and so so that's not a very old age. But Beis Hillel have a more machmir age. Beis Hillel omrim kol she'ino yachol la'achuz biyado shel aviv la'alos miYerushalayim haHar HaBayis. How old does the kid have to be? Well, the kid has to be old enough that he can hold your hand, hold the hand of his father, to go up from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis. So how old is that? That's probably more relatable to the age of chinuch. That's probably like a 5, 6, 7-year-old who could, if they're going to walk up all the steps, etc., they're going to make such a long trek. They're holding the father's hand, but they need to be able to make the steps by themselves and do that all that walking by themselves. So that's a little bit older. So that's what a katan is. Someone who's a katan, when we say a katan is exempt, that a child is exempt, we mean, according to Beis Shammai, younger than the age that you're able to ride on your father's shoulders. And according to Beis Hillel, we're saying younger than the age that you're able to hold your father's hand and walk up by yourself. Shenemar shalosh regalim. How do you know that walking is so important? Beis Hillel brings a proof, because it says shalosh regalim. We know that shalosh regalim means the three festivals, but clearly regalim has the same root as regel, a feet. So Beis Hillel say, if you need to be able to walk, to be able to go for the regalim, and therefore that's how Beis Hillel have their the reasoning for their opinion. Okay, now the Mishnah gets very technical and just tells us how much it costs to bring how much we have to spend to bring a certain korban. So Beis Shammai omrim hari'iya shtei kesef, you have to spend 2 pieces of silver on a korban ri'iya minimally. V'chigiga mea kesef, and for a chigiga you have to spend 1 piece of silver. And Beis Hillel have the exact opposite opinion. Beis Hillel omrim hari'iya mea kesef, for the ri'iya you have to spend 1 kesef, and for the chagiga shtei kesef, and for the chagiga you have to spend 2 kesef. So literally the exact opposite from Beis Shammai. So fine. So that was the Mishnah. Hakol esui imai. So the Gemara says, beginning with the question, we had such an interesting opening word that was hakol. Everyone is obligated. So it says the Gemara, hakol esui imai. Who are we including when we say everyone is included in this obligation? Says the Gemara, la'asuye misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorim. We are including someone who is a half of a slave and half of a free man. So for example, let's say you have person A and person B who own eved A. So let's say person A frees the eved, but let's say person B says, wait, I'm not freeing him yet. So therefore you have someone who is half free and someone who is half still a slave. And so in that situation, says the Gemara, you would think that person is a slave, and therefore there, we said in the Mishnah that all of them are exempt. But this guy's a half guy. He's half guy, half eved, and therefore the Mishnah has to use the word hakol to include that even that guy would be included in the obligation to bring the korban re'iyah. Well, Ravina damar, but now Ravina is going to have a challenging question for this. Ravina, who says, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin pater min re'iyah. So according to Ravina, he has a sheet, he has an opinion that says, if you're a half seiz, if you're half eved and half regular guy, half free person, then you're exempt from the korban re'iyah. So hakol asui imai. So according to him, what therefore does the word hakol come to include? So it says the Gemara, la asui chiger bayom rishon v'nispashet bayom sheni. We're talking about it's coming to include a crippled, a lame person who they are crippled on day one. They really hurt their foot on the first day, so they can't go up on the first day to bring the karban. But what do you know? By the second day, it was okay. They just needed to rest it overnight, and by the second day, they were okay to walk again. So on the second day, they are now obligated in the korban re'iyah and the other korbanos seemingly, and so that obligation this person is included in the word hakol, that even the person who was exempt on the first day is now obligated on the second day to do all that he should have done on the first day. Says the Gemara, fine, hanich lemadamar kulan tashlum in zelazeh, I understand, that makes a lot of sense if we assume that the nature of the korbanos on the chagim have the status of tashlum in zelazeh. What that basically means in layman's terms is that everyone agrees that you have to, if you didn't bring the karbanos on the first day for whatever reason you couldn't make it, then you have to bring them on the second day. The question is why, it's like a lamdasha thing. Why do you bring the karbanos on the second day? Do you bring the karbanos on the second day because you're just making up for the first day's obligation, or do you bring the karbanos on the second or third or fourth day because you lost the obligation for the first day, and now every new day you have a new obligation to bring it? So according to the opinion that says tashlumin zelazeh, which means that you have a new obligation every single day, days. So if you didn't bring it on day one, then you are now newly obligated to bring it on day two. So that makes a lot of sense, this opinion that says the hakol is coming to include the lame person who got better by day two. But ela lemand amar kulan tashlim and derishon. But according to the opinion that says my obligation on day two, three, or four is only meant to make up for the first day. So in other words, if it's just a regular case of a regular adult male who should have come on the first day, but did not bring it on the first day for whatever reason. I guess he just was running late in traffic, so he couldn't make it. So he comes down on the second day, and he has an obligation to bring it on the second day because he's making up for his having missed the first day. But the reason why he's obligated on the second day is because he was obligated on the first day. But if you were not obligated on the first day because you were a chiger, because you were lame, now on day two, the question is, what's your status going to be? According to the person who says that each day subsequent to day one is a makeup of day one, so that means according to that person, you're not obligated to bring, because on day one, you were exempt because you were lame. Now day two, it's miraculous. You're feeling a little better and you can walk again, but you never had an obligation on day one. So therefore, now even though it's day two, you no longer have an obligation. So according to this opinion, who says that every day post day one is just a makeup of day one, so clearly you're not coming to include the guy who miraculously healed by day two. So hakol la'asuyei mai. Who are you coming to include when we use the word hakol in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, la'asuyei suma ba'achas mei. We're coming to include someone who is blind in one of his eyes. So we know the Mishnah says that if you are blind, that you are exempt from the Karban Re'iyah, and we'll see why that is in a second. But someone who is half blind, they're blind in one eye, but they can see out of another. So you'd assume, maybe they should be exempt also. But therefore, it says the Mishnah, Hakol, everyone's included, so that you know even the person who's blind in one eye and blind in the other, that this person is obligated as well. Says the Gemara, Udilo ki haitana. The Tanya Yochanan ben Dehavai Omer Meishum Rabbi Yehuda Suma Ba'achas Meinah Patur Min Ariyah. So it says the Gemara, what, that we don't paskin like the following Tana, like the following Brisa, because the Brisa says that Yochanan ben Dehavai said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that a person who's blind in one of his eyes, that he is exempt from the Ra'iyah. Why would such a person be exempt? Shenamar. So the Pasuk uses the words. The actual language of the pasuk is yira'eh, but the way the Gemara brings it over here is shenamar yira'eh yira'eh. The word is actually pronounced in the pasuk yira'eh. But what the Gemara wants us to do is wants us to read it both ways, yira'eh and yira'eh. So Rashi says, if you look directly to the right of that, Rashi is yira'eh yira'eh. So he says, yira'eh kesiv, it's written the word yira'eh, the karinan yira'eh, but you read it as yira'eh. So what's the difference between the meanings? Yira'eh kol zuchor ches p'nei ha'adon, demashma sha'adam ro'eh es ha'shchina. So when we say yira'eh, we're trying to say that you have to see the shchina. And the yira is that you are going to be seen. So you yira is you see, yira is that you are seen. You have to be able to accomplish both when you do the ra'iyah. Says the Gemara, kederech shabal yiros kach bal yiros, just like you are coming to see, so too you have to be able. So too are you coming to be seen. Mal yiros b'shteinav, just like you're going just like you're coming to be seen, kach baliro, so too you have to come to and be able to see, maliros b'shteinav, just like you're going to be seen by two eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? What does it mean you're going to be seen by two eyes of Hashem? Essentially, it means that God's going to be seeing you fully. And the way you see someone fully is you have to use two eyes, because the average person has two eyes, and therefore we understand that when God sees you fully, it means that he sees you with two eyes, quote-unquote. So too, you have to be able to see with two eyes. So when it comes down to it, essentially, since there's a connection of seeing and being seen, so if Hashem's going to see with two full eyes, then you have to be able to see him with two eyes. That's how this Braisa learns it. And therefore, as a result, according to this Braisa, according to this Tana, you are going to be exempt if you only can see through one eye. Because if you can only see through one eye, that means you can't see fully, and therefore you're not going to be able to fulfill the obligation, because Hashem sees you with two eyes, and you are not able to see Hashem with two eyes. So you are exempt. So according to this Braisa, you have a big issue. because now we're sort of out of options, because this was our last chance to say what Hakol comes to include. Maybe it comes to include this person who's blind in one eye. But again, that seems to contradict this Brisa. So what would you do according to this Brisa? So says the Gemara, let's backtrack. The Ibai Yaseima, maybe you can say, Li'olam kada'ari mi'ikara v'deka kashalcha haravina lo kasha. Maybe you can say what we're trying to say at the beginning. What did we say at the beginning? The very first line of the Gemara, that Hakol comes to include someone who's a half-seas, someone who's half slave and half free man. And we said the reason why we didn't like that was because it was a challenge to Ravina, because Ravina said that someone who's a half slave and a half a free man is exempt for a Karban Ra'iyah. So if Ravina said that, so how can you say that? That's what Hakol comes to include. So we'll say, don't worry about that. Why? Kan Kemishna Reishona, Kan Kemishna Achrona. There, when Ravina made the comment that a half slave and a half free person is exempt, that was according to the first teaching of Hillel, but Kan Kemishna Achrona. But here, our Mishnah, when we use the word Hakol, that's according to the second teaching of Hillel, meaning the latter teaching, meaning Hillel taught something in the beginning, and then they retracted it, and they retaught it. So in other words, in the beginning, Ravina understood from Beis Hillel's words that the half-slave, half-free person was exempt, but then Beis Hillel retracted that, and our Mishnah comes to reflect the second teaching of Hillel, which is basically saying that all half Eved and half regular persons are going to be obligated. So that's how the Mishnah, that's how the Gemara is going to learn it now. So Ravina wasn't wrong when he taught what he taught, but rather he was just teaching a base on the first teaching of Hillel, and now our Mishnah reflects a subsequent retraction from Beis Hillel, so it's okay. Don't worry about contradicting him. So that seems to be what our Mishnah comes to include, someone who's a half Eved and someone who is a half regular person. Ditnan, the last three lines of the page, was taught in the Mishnah, Misha Chetzio Eved V'Chetzio Ben Choron, someone who's a half Eved and a half free person, Ovid as Rebo Yom Echad, he serves his master one day, Ve'asatzmo Yom Echad, and he serves himself the next day. So it's very simple. If you're half and half, so you just have to split up the days. There are 7 days in a week. Well, that's a little complicated. There are 30 days in a month, let's say. So you got 15 days, and your master gets 15 days. You can do whatever you want on those off days, and he could do whatever he wants with you on those on days. Divrei Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. Amru Lahem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say, what are you talking about, Beis Hillel? Amad Beis. Tekantem as Rebo, Ve'asatzmo Lotikantem. You're helping out the master. You know, this is such a weird situation. He's half a slave and half not a slave. So you're doing a lot to benefit the master because he still has a worker for 15 out of the 30 days of the month. But you're not helping this guy at all. This poor slave who's a half slave and half free person. He's in a terrible situation because he's neither here nor there. Says the Gemara. Says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel. Excuse me. Lisa Shivcha Eino Yachol Bas Chorin. Lisa Shivcha Eino Yachol Bas Chorin Eino Yachol. He can't marry a Shifcha because he's not an Eved, and he can't marry a free woman because he's not a free man. Livatel, what, so should he just sit and not marry anyone? Wasn't the whole world created for just to be able to procreate, just to be able to settle the world? Shnemar lotahu bara l'sheves yatzra. Hashem didn't create the world to sit desolate. Hashem created the world to form, to flourish, to multiply. So how could we just say that this guy is not going to be able to get married and have children? Ellen Bibnait Tikun Ha'olam Kofin Es Rabo Ve'osin Oso Ben Chorin Ve'kosev Lo Shtar Al Chetzi Damav. Rather, what do we do? Says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, that ultimately, because of Tikun Olam, because we care so much about the world should be properly established and fixed, etc. So we force the master in such a situation. If he has a master who owns 50% of him, we say you have to make him a Ben Chorin. You have to free him, and we just basically tell the servant that, you know what, you are going to be a free man, but you have to write this guy a document saying you owe him, if it's his servitude is worth an extra, who knows, $100, make it easy. So you have to write him a document that says you owe him $100, and you have to still make sure to pay him back $100, but he must go free. It says Beis Shammai, we force him to send him free so that he can actually be able to live in the world. V'chazr Beis Hillel lehoros k'divrei Beis Shammai. And ultimately, Beis Hillel retracted their opinion and decided to go like Beis Shammai. They said, Beis Shammai, you make so much sense. We're going to go like you. So again, originally, according to this opinion over here, according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, there was a concept of a half slave and a half free man, and he lived his life, you know, 15 days of the month he worked for himself, 15 days of the month he worked for his master. So according to Beis Hillel, According to Ravina's understanding, therefore, of this opinion of Beis Hillel, who this guy is a half-half, so he's exempt from bringing in the Karban Re'iyah. However, subsequently, Beis Hillel retracted their opinion, and they basically said there's no such thing, at the end of the day, of a half-servant, half-free man, because we always tell the master immediately you have to free the guy. So therefore, comes our mission and says Hakol, which even according to Beis Hillel, what that means is we're coming to include a half-servant or a half-slave, because even if you do have such an individual who finds himself in a circumstance that they are still technically a half of a slave, basically, like, in the next day or two, he's going to be freed by his master. So let's say a Yontif is on Monday, and so he needs to bring the Karban on Monday, but he's not going to be freed from his master until Tuesday. So we say, we consider the half-servant, half-slave, as if he is a full free man for the purposes of this Karban. So according to everyone, what does Hakol come to include at the end of the day? It comes to include that this half-servant, half-slave is obligated to bring the sacrifice of the Karban Re'iyah. Okay, two dots. Chutz mecheresh shota v'katan, says the Mishnah that we exclude the case of a person who is deaf, a person who is deranged, and a person who is a minor. Katani cheresh domia de shota v'katan, says the Gemara, by the fact that we taught this Mishnah in this way, that you have a cheresh, a shota, and a katan, we're trying to compare a cheresh to a shota and a katan. If you want to know what it means to be a deaf person, and to be the kind of deaf person that we're talking about that is exempt from this mitzvah, you have to be comparable to a shota, to a deranged person, and to a katan, to a minor. Ma shota v'katan delav b'nei deya. So just like a deranged person and a katan, they just don't have the mental competency. They're just not there. They're not bar das. They don't really know what's going on. They can't make decisions for themselves. So af cheresh delav bar deya. The only deaf person we're talking about is specifically someone who is not a berdeah. They're not mentally competent. So if you have someone who's deaf, but he's mentally competent, of course he's included. And now the Mishnah is going to define this a little bit further. But kamash malan, we see from here, kitidnan, like it was taught in a Mishnah, cheresh shedibru chachamim b'chol makom, sheino shomea ve'inu medaber. So there's a Mishnah that says that when we're talking about the cheresh in our Mishnah, and seemingly maybe even in general, when we're talking about a cheresh, who were the Chazal talking about? We were specifically talking about someone, excuse me, who can't hear and who can't speak. If you're a deaf and a mute, then you're going to be exempt, because the odds are if you're deaf and you're mute, you can't communicate and you can't hear information, then you're probably not mentally competent. Again, the Gemara is not clear about someone, let's say, you know, with modern technology and modern teaching methods, if someone is able to be competent, seemingly they would not be obligated based on the basic understanding of the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't really answer that. But we assume that, it's definitely in the times of the Gemara, if someone wasn't able to hear and they weren't able to speak, then they're just probably not a bar das. But hamedaber ve'ino shomea, someone can speak but they can't hear, shomea, or they can hear ve'ino medaber but they can't speak, chayev, either of these people, they're going to be obligated to bring the Karban Re'iyah. They're not given the dispensation of the cheresh, of the deaf person. Tanina lahad de tanu rabbanan, hamedaber ve'ino shomea, zeu cheresh, shomea ve'ino medaber, zeu ilim. So there's another mission that teaches just like this. Our mission is like that which was taught in a Braisa, that someone who speaks and doesn't hear, we call him a cheresh, and someone who hears but doesn't speak, we call him an elaim. That's what the Hebrew term for him. Because we basically consider a cheresh or an elaim, someone who can speak or hear, can do one or the other, but not both. We assume that they're wise, or that they're smart, that they're mentally competent individuals in all matters. Umimai, medaber ve'ino shomea zeo cheresh shomea, how do we know exactly, where does this come from, that someone who speaks but can't hear is called a cheresh, and someone who hears but can't speak, that he's called an ilim? Very simple, dichtiv, because there's a pasuk that we have in Tehillim that says, va'ani kecheresh lo eshma, that I am like a cheresh, and I cannot hear, v'ki ilim, and I'm like an ilim lo yiftach piv, and I can't open my mouth. So we see here the pasuk in Tehillim, it very clearly defines that someone who is deaf, someone who is a cheresh, is someone who can't hear, and someone who is an ilim is someone who cannot speak. V'yibayisimar, we have another potential source of how we get the term, at least the term elaim, where that comes from. It's like the term that the men, that people use in the street, ishtakil milule, that literally that means his speech was taken from him. But so elaim, it looks like a shortened version of ishtakil milule, because you have the E at the beginning, the Aleph and the Yud, and the Lamed in the middle, and then the Mem. So that looks like Elim. So Ishtaki Milule, which means his speech was taken from him. That's another way of saying Elim. So that's how Elim came to mean someone who can hear but not speak. Okay, two dots. We said that someone who was he can hear or speak but not both, they're also obligated. Tanya, but we have another brisa that teaches that seems to teach against this. Medaber ve'ino shomea, if he could speak but he's not listening, or shomea ve'ino medaber, or he can medaber ve'ino shomea, if he can speak but he can't hear, shomea if he can hear ve'ino medaber but he can't speak, pater, then he's going to be exempt from the korban ri'ah. Don't tell me he's going to be chayev, he's exempt. Amar Ravina ve'itim Rava, no, so Ravina and some say it was Rava, say chasoy mechsara v'hachi katani. Our Mishnah is lacking something over here. That meaning the Mishnah that we taught on the previous page. Hakol chayavin beri'ya uvesimcha chutz mecheresh hamedaber ve'ino shomea and shomea ve'ino medaber shapater minat ri'ya. So everyone is obligated to bring the korban ri'ya and the korban simcha, except for cheresh, a deaf person who can speak but can't hear, or who can hear and can't speak, shepater minariya. So if you're one or the other, then you are going to be, if you can only do one, then you're going to be exempt from the carbon ra'iya, but you will be chayev in the carbon ra'iya, in the carbon simcha regardless. V'afal pi shepater minariya, chayev simcha, nonetheless you're going to be obligated in the carbon simcha. V'esh she'inu lo shomea v'lo medaber. And for the person who can't hear or speak, v'shote v'katan, and furthermore, a deranged person or a minor, pater af minas simcha, you're going to be exempt even from the karban simcha. Ho'il peturim mikol mitzvos ha'moris b'torah, because since you're also going to be exempt from all the mitzvos of the Torah, if you're not mentally competent, you're not going to obligate the person, the poor person. They can't even take care of themselves. They can't even get dressed. And now you're going to tell them they're chayv and mitzvos? Ridiculous. So they're pater and from all mitzvos, so you're going to be pater from both of these karbanos as well. Tani nami hachi, you have a braisa that's similar to this. Ha'kol chayavim b'ri'i. Everyone is obligated in re'ia, in the carbon re'ia, and the carbon simcha. Chutz mecheresh hamedaber ve'ino shomea, shomea ve'ino medaber, shepetur min ha're'ia. So everyone's obligated in a carbon re'ia and a carbon simcha, except for someone who is someone who can speak but can't hear, or someone who can hear but they can't speak. That person is exempt from the re'ia. The afal pi shepater min ha're'ia, but even though you're exempt from the re'ia, chay, we're now in the top of Gimel Amalav, chay of a simcha, you're still going to be obligated in the carbon simcha. Ve'esh she'ino lo shomea ve'lo medaber, if you can't hear or you can't speak, ve'shote ve'katan, or you're a minor or you're deranged, so patur and afman simcha, you're going to be exempt from the carbon simcha as well. Ho'ilo patur and mikol mitzvos amoris b'torah, because you're going to be, you're exempt from all the mitzvos, you'll be exempt in this mitzvah as well. That will be our stopping point for this evening. God willing, next time we'll continue with Daf Gimel. For now, everyone should have a great night, and God willing, King Yerbu, we should be zocha to make a siyum in just a few months on this Masechta as well. Everyone should have a great night.